Today may be AMR's last day on the New York Stock Exchange. Italy drops a stiff new tax on GA aircraft. And one of ANN's own is out of ICU and on the mend. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 4th, 2012. The New York Stock Exchange says it will delist the common stock of AMR Corporation prior to the opening bell tomorrow. The action comes after the share price for the parent of American Airlines was less than $1 over a consecutive 30-day trading period. The exchange also noted the uncertainty of the timing and outcome of the bankruptcy process and the ultimate effect of the process on the company's common stockholders. The company has a right to a review. Sprint Nextel, one of the partners in the proposed build-out of LightSquared's 4G network, could have been free to walk from that deal December 31st because the contract was contingent on FCC approval for LightSquared to start building by that date. But Sprint has reportedly agreed to an extension. It's only 30 days, so expect the tone of LightSquared's arguments to the FCC to continue in an urgent tone. About 5,500 United Airlines aircraft mechanics and related employees, represented by the Teamsters, have overwhelmingly ratified a contract agreement which provides significant wage increases, maintenance of health care benefits, and enhanced job security protections. The agreement reportedly includes an $11,500 signing bonus and restoration of some items conceded in bankruptcy. Passage of the agreement moves the union a step closer to its goal of a single combined contract for the 9,000 mechanics the union represents at the merged United and Continental Airlines. Italy's government, facing default on loans, has decided that general aviation aircraft will be socked with a luxury tax, which starts at 1.5 euro per kilogram, that's about a dollar a pound, for aircraft up to 1,000 kilograms or 2,200 pounds. The tax escalates to 7.55 euro per kg for aircraft over 10,000 kilograms, and helicopters pay double those rates. Gliders, motor gliders, gyroplanes, and balloons will be charged a flat rate of 450 euro per year. There is no depreciation with age either. Massimo Levi of AOPA Italy says lawmakers have been warned the country stands to see aviation tax revenue go backward, so far to no avail. But at the same time, he observes the suppression of GA activity may go unnoticed. Quote, Italy already extends poor hospitality to foreign GA airplanes, with all its airspace and airport regulations and charges. So possibly no one will notice that the trade has all gone, unless something happens like a foreigner refusing to pay and the authorities impounding an aircraft. Something like this would make a lot of bad publicity to the country. Unquote. In February of 2010, a Cessna 310 carrying three employees of Tesla Motors struck an electrical transmission tower shortly after takeoff from Palo Alto Airport in California. The wreckage skidded down a residential street, and while there were no injuries reported on the ground, debris struck several homes, setting three on fire. The San Jose Mercury News reports that an attorney for 51-year-old Lisa Jones, whose home was hit by a severed wing from the plane, has reached a financial settlement with Tesla Motors, the estate of the pilot, and several insurance companies. The home, which also housed a daycare center operated by Jones, suffered an estimated $200,000 damage and has been uninhabitable for almost 2 years since the accident. The pilot, 56-year-old David Bourne, was a senior electrical engineer at Tesla Motors. Investigators say fog was so thick at the time of takeoff that Bourne was warned by a controller, quote, I cannot clear you for takeoff because I don't have visibility on the runway. So the release is all yours, and it's at your own risk, sir, unquote. The NTSB's final report, published November 22, 2011, found pilot error to be the cause of the accident. Still ahead, an economic bidding war may be breaking out over Kestrel aircraft. Some lawmakers in South Carolina wish they had their incentive votes back. And a historic Australian aircraft replica will fly again. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 4th. I'm Paul Platt. At least two municipalities may be involved in a bidding war to become the new home of Kestrel Aircraft, Alan Klapmeyer's new company. The assumption has been that Kestrel would become the anchor tenant for the ongoing conversion of the former Brunswick Naval Air Station in Maine to a civilian facility, but expected funding from CEI Capital Management of Maine has not come through. The Bangor Daily News reports that on January 16th, there's a public hearing scheduled in Superior, Wisconsin, to discuss an economic incentive package to lure Kestrel there. Klapmeyer has also reportedly been in discussions with officials in Berlin, New Hampshire. Kestrel is expected to produce between 300 and 600 good-paying jobs over the next several years. As evidenced by the Kestrel story, economic development has become a dog-eat-dog sport. To discourage poaching, the Horry County Council in South Carolina Monday considered a motion to approve economic incentives for a company identified only by a code name to keep it secret. Now that the incentives have been approved and the company's actual name has been revealed, some councilors who voted in favor wish they could reconsider. The reason is that they already approved over $1 million in incentives to Avcraft Support Services back in 2004 on the premise the company would create 80 new jobs. Only about 50 new jobs reportedly resulted. Now, to be fair, any expansion of an MRO operation in the economic environment of the past 5 years could be considered remarkable progress. Brad Lofton, a Myrtle Beach economic development official, notes some job creation is better than no job creation. Avcraft collected about $500,000 of the incentives promised at the time, for which Lofton observes, quote, "They're growing. They're working on new contracts. We're confident in their new leadership team." The company reorganized in 2010 as Avcraft Technical Services, and the new promise is 150 jobs in a 5-year expansion as a return on a $200,000 incentive, with half coming from the state and half from the county. SCNow.com reports that the new company's president, Mike Hill, also worked for the previous incarnation. Councilman Carl Schwarzkopf tells SCNow.com, quote, "You still have to think about the history of the organization, where they've been, what they've done in the past, and the likelihood of it probably happening again in the future. I just think it would have been important for the council members to have more information than what they've received in the past." Unquote. A replica of the Southern Cross, a Fokker trimotor which made the first Pacific crossing from the U.S. mainland to Australia in 1928, is being brought back to help acquaint Australian schoolchildren with their aviation heritage. The replica was damaged in a crash in 2002. A dedicated group of Australian volunteers has made its restoration a New Year's resolution. The original plane still exists, but it's preserved under glass near the international terminal at Brisbane Airport in Queensland. The volunteer team at the Historical Aircraft Restoration Society Museum at Illawarra Regional Airport want kids to be able to see and touch the plane, which is only possible for the replica if they get it flying. That will require repairs to the plane's damaged wing, undercarriage, and two of its three propellers. The goal is to have the plane airworthy in time for the 80th anniversary of Charles Kingford Smith's flight from Seven Mile Beach in Goroa to New Plymouth in New Zealand in 1933 in the original plane. That puts the deadline at January 11, 2013. The replica was built to celebrate Australia's bicentennial in 1988. It's thought to be the largest reproduction aircraft in the world. And finally today, CFI Bob Miller's Over the Airwaves online newsletter and periodic contributions to ANN often collide with conventional wisdom within the flight training industry. But on Monday, a collision with another skier at Utah's Deer Valley Resort left the veteran instructor unconscious after a fall on hard-packed snow, which broke his helmet. Miller was transported by ground to Park City Medical Center, where he regained consciousness, then was transferred to Intermountain Healthcare in Murray for trauma care and evaluation of a possible broken neck. Yesterday, following further evaluation, Miller was moved out of the hospital's intensive care unit and may be discharged in time for his commercial flight home to the Buffalo, New York area on Friday. Bob considers himself fortunate to have had his injuries turn out to be less serious than first feared, but does not expect to be back on the ski slopes anytime soon. All of us at ANN wish Bob a speedy and full recovery. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.